Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Yes, it's time for Ready, Steady, Learn here on 95BFM Breakfast. Thanks to Waipapa Taumatarau, the University of Auckland. We've got Dr. Rebecca Meering, who's a senior lecturer in exercise sciences, working with the Centre for Co-Created Ageing Research with us in the studio. Morena, Rebecca.
Morena. Thanks
How
for having
you?
Me.
Good, good. We're good. Excited to chat. Your research is fascinating. It's all about perimenopause and menopause and exercise, right?
Yep, that's it.
We were just saying off air, isn't it just the tale as old as time? There being a sort of gap in the research in women's health. Tell us a little bit about how you came to research this area.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember I did an honours project where I actually had to exclude females because of the hormonal fluctuations that complicate a woman's physiology. And that was in the early 2000s. So yes, it's very sad that there's quite a gap in research in women's health. But so I guess my sort of journey to this topic is I'm a physical activity researcher, so I'm really interested in understanding about people's movement behaviors, so what people do during the day and how that impacts on their health. And so women are less active than men for many reasons, some of which are social reasons, and others are sort of physiological reasons, you know, less low motivation. And so those issues can lead to women being more at risk for chronic health conditions compared to men. So I'm really interested in understanding what women actually do in terms of movement, and how we can design or develop interventions that are going to help support women as they go through this life stage to be the healthiest or live the healthiest life that they can.
And so obviously there's a bit of a sort of gap in the research of what we know in terms of exercise and menopause and the relationship there, but what do we know so far?
Yes, so the research currently in New Zealand tells us that just under half of women are meeting the physical activity guidelines. So the statistics aren't great. And like I said, that's, you know, different sort of social expectations. There's also mental health issues that women struggle with more than men. And that can impact on one's motivation to engage in exercise. So those are some of the reasons why women are less active than men.
And then in terms of the sort of positive effects that exercise can have on the side effects of menopause, what do we know about that?
So exercise is recommended for to help with the symptoms of menopause. So these are your common symptoms such as hot flushes, weight gain, sometimes bloating, all of those kinds of symptoms that women might experience. So exercise in general has been shown to help alleviate those symptoms of menopause. Mechanisms of how it does that is a little bit less understood, but there are positive impacts of engaging in more physical activity and the effects on menopause.
Do you think the reason why menopausal women might not be engaging with exercise as much is because they maybe just don't quite have the resources or the knowledge to help with the symptoms in the first place, and then it sort of becomes a bit of a vicious cycle?
Yeah, so that's one of the as part of my research, we hosted a couple of listening events around Auckland to get women's perspective on menopause and why or why they might not engage in physical activity. And that really was one of the reasons or the common themes that came up in those discussions, is that there's not a lot that's known about menopause and its and its impact on health or how that might affect women's engagement in exercise. And there's a real need for those resources to be developed and that source that those resources and support to be made available for women going through this life stage.
Fascinating. So what's the next step for you and your research?
So currently what we're doing is we're conducting a survey of women in New Zealand, and we're having a look at overall lifestyle behaviours. So part of that is looking at activity, sleep, their overall well-being, and nutrition habits. And we're doing this survey, and we're measuring their activity using a little accelerometer or activity monitor device. Using that information and the information that we got from the listening events, we really want to start looking at trying to co-design lifestyle interventions for women. So this would mean getting together with groups of women and sort of understanding what they want out of a lifestyle intervention. So it might not necessarily mean that women want to go to a gym and do structured exercise, but they might want to engage more in, for example, outdoor activities where they want to do more gardening, they want to do more sort of unstructured exercise and things like that. So we're really sort of moving into that next step where we're co-designing lifestyle interventions with women.
Do you have hope that the statistics will improve?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, education and information is a big part of that. So a big part of why people engage in exercise or sufficient amounts of exercise is whether they have good physical activity literacy. So whether they understand what they should do and what that means. So, you know, if I said to somebody, you have to do 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity, me as a physical activity researcher, I'm going to know exactly what I have to do. That's not the same for everybody else. So with improved messaging, absolutely, I think people can become more physically active.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I imagine for you there's a real, I mean, you know, coming from a science background, there must be a lot as well in terms of the sort of social context of it all involved in your research. There's so many factors, right? Like, the patriarchy runs deep. and I bet that sort of is, influencing a lot of the way that things have played out and where things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what I love about the sort of co-creation or co-design nature is it might be sort of unsettling for me as a science researcher, but I think it's been one of the most fascinating parts of this journey is just really listening to women. And we've had such an overwhelming response from women in the survey already. And that co-creation has really just opened your eyes to, you know, it's not maybe just exercise that is a problem for women, but it's also that they're just tired sometimes and don't, you know, who wants to exercise when they're tired? And
well, that's the thing is, like, you know, women are, they're working all day and then they come home and some have kids and it's like, oh, the kids want something, you know.
Yeah, and even things like safety as well, you know, like not being able to go for a run at night. Or, you know, gyms not always being the most welcoming spaces for femme people. So, there's a lot of factors, but sounds like very fascinating research.
Yeah, it is.
And absolutely important mahi.
I mean, kudos to anyone who's out there exercising. It's great for you.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you.
It's been really cool to learn a little bit more about your mahi, and can't wait to see where your research goes next.
Awesome. Thanks.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.